Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and right now we're going to talk with Mike Gonzalez of Heritage Foundation, heritage.org. Mike has written a very interesting article about Twitter and the possibility of censorship of those with a politically incorrect point of view. Mike, welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks a lot for having me.
Okay, so go ahead and give us the broad picture here about this potential problem.
Well, you know, about a week ago, Twitter announced out of nowhere that it was establishing this brand new Twitter Trust and Safety Council. And it's not very clear what it's going to do, but it's going to take a look and see what people are saying on Twitter. Now, the first thing you notice, it's the title, the Twitter Trust and Safety Council, and that you know, what struck many of us is that the folks running Twitter may be too young to have read Orwell, but it sounds completely Orwellian. Because, you know, Twitter is what it is. It is freewheeling. But up to now, it hasn't felt the need to have a safe space. And then the second thing you do is once you go in and you open the announcement and you look at the 40 or so organizations that are on the panel, you discover that, you know, let's start with the good news. Some are good because they are anti, cyberbullying organizations. The Anti-Defamation League is there, which is probably a good thing. They do good stuff. But the rest of the groups are just very leftist, and there isn't a single conservative group. So if you're a conservative like me who really likes the Internet and the freedom that has come with cyberspace, you get worried.
Mm-hmm. GLAAD is one of the groups, the gay, lesbian, anti-defamation group.
Yeah, and you know, they used to be called that, and then out of deference to the fact that they did not mention transsexuals and bisexuals, they just now go for the acronym. The acronym has become the name. So yeah, and I mean, GLAAD is typical of the organizations on it, and GLAAD obviously is a very it's very one-sided in what it does. And what it tries to do is prevent people from discussing, whether they think marriage should be between a man and a woman, or whether, you know, we should go back to the understanding of marriage that lasted for millennia. So yeah, that's one of the groups that these panels it's not just GLAAD. Another one is the one that's even more worrisome, which is the Dangerous Speech Project. The Dangerous Speech Project, another Orwellian name. Mm. And you open it, you go to their website, and you notice that their funders are the liberal John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, which again is very, very liberal. And then when you look at the people who are on their board or the people who work for it, you find many who have ties to the Open Society Institute.
Meaning George Soros.
Well, yeah, George Soros, exactly. Who again, to any conservative who has a detector, says, "Wait a second, what is going on?"
Wow, that's interesting. Now, Twitter is a private company, right? They can do what they want to in that sense, correct?
Yeah, no, I mean, like I even say that actually. That's a good point.
Yeah, I mean, that's right from your article, by the way.
Yeah, no, I mean, you know, that is any conservative with a conscience should always say, you know, if it's a private company, if it's a private entity, they can do whatever they want, right? Within limits, mm-hmm. but it is within their limits to say, you know what, we're going to turn this into a liberal-only forum if we want to. And the thing is, two things. One, would that help Twitter's bottom line, which is already hurting, apparently? I don't think so, because half the country is conservative at least. Mm-hmm. And the second thing is, as a conservative, I would be sorry to see that happen. I like Twitter. I use Twitter all the time. Twitter is a good forum. Buyer beware. There's a lot of rubbish that gets said on Twitter, but there's a lot of good stuff as well. It breaks news. There's insightful information. So as a conservative, I'd hate to see it change its model and become a liberal-only platform.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's interesting. I was just listening earlier today to an interview of a man who grew up in a lesbian household and he is an outspoken critic of same-sex marriage, not because he hates anybody, but only because he knows personally, as a boy growing up in that kind of context, it was not an ideal thing. And he's a professor now, and the left is going out to try and crucify this guy, Robert Lopez. But here he is interviewing a lady from England who's talking about the way Christian rights are being taken away in England from Christians. And it's important to have this kind of forum, you know, with the internet. And I'd hate to see another potential platform just go the way of totalitarianism, really.
No, exactly. I mean, look, the hatred has nothing to do with it. Nobody, everybody who detects hatred just moves away. You know, you don't want to hear hatred comments that there's no policy involved, that are not thoughtful, that is just driven by animus. But if you are going to have a give and take on ideas that are legitimate to have, and you say that if marriage has been between a man and a woman for thousands of years, mm-hmm. you know, an institution that predates the nation state, then it is legitimate to discuss, you know, whether all of our ancestors until the present generation were wrong.
Right.
That's a legitimate thing to debate, right?
Yes, absolutely.
So, and you do it without hatred, without animus, without, yes, God knows that there's been a lot of animus aimed at gay people for years, and that's not, I don't go for any of that.
Right.
But yes, I think we should have a debate.
Absolutely.
And if that gets driven out of Twitter, then we have a problem.
All right, let me ask you a question. How real is the problem of cyberbullying?
Well, you know, I'm a father, and it is an issue that you want to keep an eye on. Twitter itself has, you can have a lot of bullying on Twitter, and you've seen in fact, I cite a story that was written almost exactly a year ago. It was written February 12th, 2015, by John Ronson in the New York Times Magazine, about how these mobs rise in Twitter.
Oh,
I don't know if
yeah.
you're a Twitter user.
You mean like the flash mobs type of thing?
Yeah. And they go after somebody who has said something deemed politically incorrect, and they just hound them out. And some people's lives have been seared by this. And now the majority of the people in Ronson's story are private individuals who are not used to being exposed, who don't lead public lives. And all of a sudden, seeing their names, seeing hundreds of tweets come in attacking them, must be a really awful thing.
Hmm.
So that is real. You know, I mean, people have lost their jobs
sure.
because of mob attacks on Twitter. But, you know, that comes with the territory. It's not something I like. By the way, I should say that these attacks happen against everybody, but the ones that are the most prominent, the ones I've seen the most, have been attacks against conservatives by the politically correct thought police. If anything, it's conservatives who have suffered a lot of these attacks.
That is a great point. Now, George Orwell is kind of a constant theme in your article, and you just brought up the term thought police, which ultimately, does that not come from his book 1984? How about a comment about George Orwell, especially for those not familiar with him, and maybe our friends on the left need to, you know, get a little history lesson here.
Well, George Orwell was a guy, actually the ideal intellectual, right? He started out as a leftist. Mm-hmm. He went to, he wrote very, very good pieces. You know, I really urge all your listeners to Google Orwell, read 1984, read Animal Farm.
Great
read
stuff.
A good essay he wrote. I think it's called On Language, which I tried to read every other year. And he went to the Spanish Civil War, and his eyes were open as to Stalinism and Marxism.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he saw it up close. So he was a real straight shooter. He was not going to hide. He came back and said, you know, communism and totalitarianism is real. It's a very bad thing. So
he went, by the way, as an idealist, as a leftist, right? So he was
exactly.
originally for the communists, and then when he actually saw them in practice, I mistakenly said, by the way, that I thought he had gone to the Soviet Union, but I guess I'm confusing him or conflating him with Malcolm Muggeridge. But go on.
Right, exactly. No, he wrote a very good book on the Spanish Civil War called Homage to Catalonia, which I also recommend. And, he was, and what he, by the way, you know that what he wrote about was good because he is banned in most totalitarian states. He's banned in Cuba. He was banned in the old Soviet Union. He's banned in North Korea. Because these are countries that survive. Even Russia today, to some degree, survives by controlling information.
Mm.
You know, everything in Russia that you hear is Putin's good. No, Putin's not good. He's great. So that the debate is between Putin's good and Putin's great. And it's the same thing in Cuba with the Castros.
Right.
You know, you don't have the government controls every TV station, every radio station, every newspaper, and everything is how great the Castros are. And that's the kind of thing that Orwell writes about. And that obviously that has not happened in Twitter. And I don't expect it to happen in Twitter. But you do every time something like this happens and there's the idea of a panel that's going to control language and what's said, you have to mention Orwell. And I must say the Twitter people have made it just really too easy by calling this board the Trust and Safety Council.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like in 1984, there's the Ministry of Truth.
Yes.
There's the War Department, but they don't call it that. I think it's called the Department of Peace. I mean, everything is
right.
Backwards. Everything is upside down.
It's doublespeak. Right.
Doublespeak, yeah. And that I think that phrase even comes from 1984. You're right. It's a classic. In fact, I find myself every 2 or 3 years, I will return and reread 1984. It's probably the only book of its category that I do that with, other than, you know, I read the Bible virtually every day, but this is a book that's absolutely worth returning to. And so it's scary to see this development within Twitter. Well, are there any concluding thoughts you want to make about this story?
I think conservatives, really should follow this up close, right? And denounce it if they see something bad. Maybe there's nothing nefarious behind this, and maybe the fact that many conservatives like me have written about it will convince Twitter that this is not what it wants to do. But I think what your listeners should do, obviously, is just follow this as closely as they can, because it's not it wouldn't be a good development to see Twitter go the other way.
Yeah, well, like Facebook, haven't they even pulled some accounts where it's a politically incorrect type speech that they don't agree with or something to that effect?
Yes. In fact, they have done a study was just done on Facebook recently on they had similarly framed and phrased statements, one pro-Palestinian, the other one pro-Israeli. And at one point, the pro-Israeli one was pulled down, the pro-Palestinian one was not.
Wow. Yeah, so, I mean, it's a scary thing. Okay, heritage.org for more information. People can see your piece there, correct?
Yes, heritage.org. They can go to the Daily Signal, thedailysignal.com, which is our news site. Mm-hmm. By the way, that essay by Orwell was Politics in the English Language. It is a really good essay that I also recommend to your listeners.
Dailysignal.org. Mike Gonzalez of Heritage, thanks so much for being with us.
Dailysignal.com.
Dailysignal.com and heritage.org. Okay.
Yes.
Thank you now.
Great. Thanks.
All the best.
Bye.
Bye-bye.